And again, we thank the Lord for you being here this evening and appreciate everyone's faithfulness. Well, I met somebody tonight for the very first time. I've been praying for him, and I've seen him by picture, and I know the church has briefly met him, but doesn't know him much more than I do. But Brother Josh Hill is a wonderful missionary, and he serves with a wonderful missionary board, a lot of good co-laborers, and I know of his good pastor, and so he is. I know a lot about him, but I just haven't met him till tonight. But has a wonderful family. Got to meet a couple of them tonight, and I'm going to have him come share with you what's going on in the rest of his family, because he might be a poster child for those that shouldn't have come to church, but he still did. And so I'll let you explain, or let him explain what that is. And then he's going to show his video presentation and then preach for us for after that. And I just want our church to get to know him and know better how to pray for him, and then get a prayer card afterwards and just get to fellowship with him and his girl. So, brother, why don't you just come? Let us get to know you a little bit and preach for us and show the video, whatever you want to do.
God bless you, preacher. Amen. Well, I say it's good to be in church this evening. Amen. And I sure do thank God for His goodness and His grace. Amen. And I'm glad to be serving the Lord in 2021. And He's still on the throne. Amen. And though this world's lost its mind, amen, we as Christians, amen, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I believe if we have our minds fixed on Jesus, everything will be all right. Amen. And so I want to thank the Lord. I want to thank you, church. Amen. For your faithfulness and giving to our family. And I was explaining to preacher how we came by, dropped in one Sunday morning. Our kids went off to Sunday school, and we sat in service and enjoyed all Sunday morning, Sunday night, our Sunday service. And then the only thing Brother Jody asked me to do in the morning service was to pray. And then about 3 minutes later, y'all started supporting our family. Amen. And so it was a blessing, though. And I'm thankful for your support. There's also been others that have given to our family and given to needs that we have, and I thank you for that. Amen. You know who you are. Amen. And I want to thank you for that. Amen. What offering that has been given to the property that we're trying to raise money for, I'll explain that in a minute. But I do want to thank the Lord for my family. Amen. I got my two girls with me. Madeline, she's 8. And Marley, she's 6. And then I have two twin boys you see here, Jackson and Judson, and they're 4 years old. And then we just had a newborn on last Monday, Judah Stennett Hill. Amen. Does anybody know or have heard of the great missions man, Brother Stennett Ballou? Anybody? One person. Praise the Lord. Two people. Amen. Well, Brother Stennett Ballou is a great man of God that labored for many years. And when we found out we were expecting, we decided, and it was a boy, we decided that we would honor Brother Ballou and naming our child after him, great man of God. And so that's where that name Stennett comes from. I get it all the time. Where did you get Stennett from? That's a different name. And so that's where that comes from. But when Judah was born, he was born with a lot of fluid on his lungs. And so we had him for about 15 minutes, and he kept turning colors, and he kept choking. And so they took him right from us, took him straight to NICU, where he stayed for right at a week and 2 days. And this afternoon, matter of fact, as I was on my way up here, Judah got out. Amen. He got out of NICU. Mama took him home. And I was wrestling. Do I call? Do I change his meat? What do I do? And I was already coming this way. And I said, well, we might as well just go on and give him a night alone with Mama. Amen. She's watching tonight. So, but I'm thankful the Lord's touched him and helped him and healed him. Amen. Ask that you just please continue to pray for him. And I do want to thank the Lord for what He's allowed us to do the past 3 years in Guatemala. The Lord has been faithful to our family. And but first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Amen. I was 11 years old when I started getting into drugs and alcohol and pills and all the things of this world. And for 4 years, I started sinking down that slippery slope of sin. But I'm thankful as a 15-year-old boy, I took some drugs, and turned out those drugs were laced with some things, and ended up having an allergic reaction, ended up going to the hospital, and the doctor looked at me and he said, son, you could have died tonight with this medicine and this type of mixture of drugs. And for the first time as a 15-year-old boy, I thought of death and thought where I would have gone if I would have died without Jesus Christ. And for the first time, I realized I needed Him. And I'll never forget, for about 3 months, I was under conviction. conviction. I was under the condemnation, amen. And at February 24th, 2006, as a 16-year-old boy, I asked the Lord to save me. He changed my life. He gave me meaning. He gave me love. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. And I'm thankful that He's never left my side, amen. He's been a faithful friend, and He's never forsaken me. And I'm thankful for my Savior, amen. But I do want to say that in Guatemala, the Lord has allowed us to minister in an area of Santa Lucia Milpas Altas. And the Lord's given us a now 2019, so y'all do the math on that. It was June of 2019 when the Lord allowed us to start the Iglesia Bautista Biblica. And the Lord allowed us to start there. And you know how we started the church? Going out and telling people about Jesus. Amen. And we did that, and we did that, and we did it. Before we knew it, we had our first service, and we had about 80 people show up for our first service. And we were just blown away. Didn't know what was going on. But God was building the church. Amen. And since then, we have seen in total in ministry over 40 people saved. About 20 of that's people that are in our church still to this day. I give God the glory for that. Amen. I love it when somebody gets born again into the family of God. Amen. I don't think there's any other, other than being a baby being born into this world, I think that's the greatest joy that this life has to offer. I mean, there's nothing like watching a newborn come into this world. But I'd say as a child of God, there's no greater joy than watching somebody get born again into the family of God. Amen. There's no greater joy than that. And if you have a greater joy, well, you're selfish. Amen. Watching somebody's life get changed and given to the Lord and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it. I love it. But you know what I love even more? Is when they get saved and they come back the next Sunday and they say, "Preacher, what can we do to help?" Amen. And so the Lord's given us a good core group of about 40 people. And as I said, about 35-45% of them have been saved and they're growing in the Lord. And so we're thankful for what the Lord's doing there in Milpas Altas. Amen. And I ask that you please get one of our prayer cards and pray for our family. Back last year, 2020, as all this craziness broke loose, amen, it was about February where we realized we needed to put a video out to start trying to raise some money for a building or for property or maybe to pay for some rent as our contract was coming due or coming to an end on the building that we were in. And so in February, we put a video out on Facebook, and literally within 2 weeks, God had sent in $24,000. And at the time, we were shouting. We was like, "Praise God, this is going wonderful." And then the owner of the building that we were renting tragically passed away. It wasn't COVID, but it was just something. It was his time to go. And so he died, and we had on the contract left till we had June, and so we had to be out, and his kids ended up getting the building, and they weren't as nice as he was. They tried to raise the price and tried to take advantage of us gringos, amen, and so we just backed out of the situation. I mean, we're in the midst of a COVID crisis anyways, and we weren't going back to the building, and so we decided that we would just step away. But I'd be honest, I was still kind of worried. I was like, "Man, what are we going to do when they do open things back up? Where are we going to meet? What are we going to do?" And so one of the ladies in our church, though, she began to go to the ladies of the church and began to say, tell them that they're going to start praying at the property right next door to where the building was that we were renting. And as she did that, they began to meet there and pray as a church without me even knowing what was going on. And you'll learn about all this in the video. And so kind of find out, though, that the Lord allowed me to talk to the owner of the property, and he presented in three different pieces of property. And when he broke up the first piece of property and said, "This is what the price is," you'll never believe what it was. $24,000. Amen. And so before we even knew what we was going to do, God had already put the thing together for us. And so now this is a very small piece of property. Matter of fact, it's a quarter of an acre. And in total, it's about $95,000. Amen. And so property in Guatemala is pretty expensive. Amen. Compared to Tennessee. And so And so we got the money for this first piece of property. We put a tent up, and then we come to the States for three reasons on furlough. Number one was to have a baby, which we got that done. And then we came here to raise more support, and so the Lord's been good in that area. And then our third was to try to raise $125,000 $67,000 of that would be to buy the rest of this property, and then $60,000 to eventually build on this property. And can I testify to you in the grace of God that 3 weeks ago, God allowed us to finish out raising the $67,000 that we need to buy the property. Amen. I give God the glory for that. I'm excited. It shows me one thing. He's about to do a work. Amen. And so now we're trying to raise money for building. It's going to be about $60,000, and the Lord's already allowed us to raise about $4,500 of that. We know God's able, and we know He's going to do it. Amen. But anyways, we're going to show this video real quick. It's pretty much everything I just told you, but you get your eyes on it. Amen. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, mine eye affected my heart. And so I pray that you just allow this video. Look at the area that God's given us to serve in. You'll see a couple men that are drunk, and we got people in our streets. I mean, they pass out drunk. I'm sure this brother could testify in Mexico. For some reason, Latinos are big drinkers. Amen. And so we find them all the time laying out the road, and what the Lord's allowed us to, we got a pickup ministry. Amen. We go by and we pick them up and we stick a gospel track in their church, in their sleeve or in their pocket, and pray when they come to and they come sober, maybe they'll read that track and get saved. Amen. And so that's our pickup ministry that we got. And so, the Lord's been so good. But I want you to look at this. It's right behind me. Amen. Just so you can see what it's like in the village that God's given us to serve in. Amen.
Of Milpas Altas is an area nestled between multiple mountains and volcanoes. There are three towns of Milpas Altas in which we are focusing our ministry efforts: Magdalena, San Mateo, and Santa Lucia Milpas Altas. Santa Lucia is where we have planted our first church. There are approximately 80,000 people in these three small towns. While there is much natural beauty in Milpas Altas, there is also much spiritual darkness. There are other churches in this area, however, they teach a works-based salvation. So many are still enslaved to the sin of religion, and it doesn't take long to walk around this area and see the effects of sin. Many of these same people that live this sinful lifestyle attend some church. It's sad to seek those that seek religion, yet they never find Christ. We believe God has called our family to this area for this reason. About 2 years ago, we was out here in this area knocking on doors, and we come across a lady who had been praying for God to send a missionary here to start a church. And so we thought, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that we start a church. We prayed about it. We prayed about it with our pastor. And we began to look. We found a building, started renting. Back in March, her owner tragically passed away. I presented that to her church about what we were going to do. And we found this piece of property. And they began to come here and pray. They began to meet here as a church and pray without me even knowing. And in doing that, I felt led of the Lord to go and ask the owner about a proposition that I had for him. I proposed to him three plans if he would break this property up into three different pieces. He agreed to it, and we put a video out in February. And in 2 months, the Lord gave us the money to buy the first piece of property. And now we come to you. We desire to purchase this entire property, but for now, we desire to have this half right here. It's going to cost us about $65,000. We ask that you please pray about this. Please pray about it. Please pray about giving to this need. And after that, we're going to need another $60,000 to build a building. We're in a tent now, and we're content. We're happy. But we desire to have a building where we can have Sunday school class, a small little kitchen where we can feed hungry kids. And so we ask that you would just please, please pray about this need. Pray that God would meet this need. And would you please pray about giving to this need? We thank you for taking time to watch this video, and pray you have a blessed day. God bless you.
Amen. If you will, take your Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I do want to say one other thing about the building that the Lord's given, allowing us to build there. As it will serve for a church, it'll also serve as a training ground with Rock of Ages. If you're familiar with Rock of Ages, they're very big in prisons, and that's their main goal, is getting into prisons all over the world. And at the end of 2019, right before COVID hit, we actually sat down with the only national going into the prisons of Guatemala. And we put a plan together. This man told us, he said, listen, you go to the prisons, 1,000 people come out to the yard and they'll hear you preach. And so we began to put things together. And we had another 8 men tell us that if you could teach us and train us how to get into these prisons, we will sign up. We will start going. We will do everything we can to promote it and to get our young preachers involved. And so this building will not only serve as a church, but also as a training ground to where we can serve, where we can train nationals, amen, to get into their prison system and preach the gospel to these Guatemalan people. Most of these Guatemalan men, y'all have seen them on the news, MS-18, MS-13, they got tattoos all over their face. They're scary looking, but they need the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, a lot of times we're Americans, amen, and we know how we are. We just rather drop a bomb on them, rather just send the troops down and kill them all. But can I just say this? They need the Lord just as much as you did when you was lost without Jesus. Amen. And as wicked as their sin is, don't forget how wicked your sin was when you was lost without the Lord. And so they need Jesus. And how do you change a country? How do you change? America, we're not going up, we're going down. How do you change a country? It's not with government, but it's with the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I should just please pray about that church. And as you heard, there was that offering there, and I want to talk about that this evening. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and to us by the will of God." If you study your Bible, I believe there's 3 main offerings that we deal with in the Bible. Number one, obviously, being the tithe. Amen? And the tithe is given to the church, and we're to give the tithe to the church. Amen? And then there is a free will offering, which is simply an offering that maybe a special preacher comes by or a special project is presented, and the pastor stands up and says, "We're going to take up a special offering for this need." You give willfully, cheerfully, amen. And when you're not obligated to give to that, but it's a free will offering. It means you're giving out of your own free will, a desire to help and meet this need, amen. And then you learn of, obviously, the missions offering, the offering that we give that goes to help missions worldwide, amen? And that includes here in the States and abroad, amen? But I believe there is another offering that a lot of times we miss in the Bible, and that's the offering that I see here, the offering of self. The Bible says here, "But they first gave themselves, their own selves, to the Lord." You see, in the Bible we learn, and y'all have to pardon me, amen, I don't have my outline. I got Dr. Don Rogers' Bible tonight, and mine's at the hotel, amen. So I'm going to try my best to preach this as the Lord leads, amen. I'm not going to be long, amen. But as we find, I wish I would have found a good outline. I would have took a picture of it, amen. And so, so we get to this, and we learn out of the example of Christ that He gave Himself for us. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, in Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Can I say this? God has given you everything you've ever needed. Amen? When Jesus saved you, you got all of Him that you'll ever get. Amen? There's no second working. Amen? When you get saved, you get all of God. Amen? And so when you need peace, He gives Himself so you can have peace. When you need joy, He gives Himself to you so you can have joy. When you have needs, He gives Himself to you so He can meet those needs. And so we find that the example of Christ is an offering to us. And see, we as Christians, so many times we get saved and we use this for a phrase. I've heard many people say it. This is when I gave my life to Christ. And I'm afraid that a lot of people may have given their soul to Christ in salvation, but I'm just under the persuasion that very few have given their life to Christ. You see, the Bible here is talking about an offering of self. We learn in the book of Luke, we learn of a man that was trying to follow the Lord. And listen to what he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 59. The Bible says, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Another one said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I promise you, I'll do this or I'll do that. But first," he said, "but first, let go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." You see, when the Lord, he wants from you is you. Amen. He doesn't necessarily want your wallet. He doesn't necessarily want your home. He just wants you. He wants you to serve him and to be willing to give yourself to the ministry, to the work, to whatever it is that he has for your life. See, the truth is, not everybody in here is called or put on this earth for the same purpose. But I promise you one thing, you're here to do something for God. Everyone in here, listen, you have no excuse. You have no reason to say, well, I just don't think God wants to do anything with me. Then he would have killed you when he saved you. God desires to use your life. You say, well, I'm too old. Hey, Moses was 80, praise God. Hey, when he started his full-time ministry. Hey, so age is not a reason to say, I don't think God can use me. You say, well, I'm just, you don't know how my body is, and I can't do the same things that I used to do. Hey, but can I say to you, it don't matter your age. It don't matter your physical condition. Hey, God has something for your life. But what you have to do first is give yourself to him fully. Brother Ballou, Brother Sennett Ballou, I was mentioned later, he used to preach mission conferences and was many missions conferences with him. And he would always put the illustration of putting our offering plate down. And he said, you know, the money that we give to missions, it'll eventually be used. It'll go waste. We'll put rid of it and it'll go to where it needs to be gone and it'll be spent. The money for this property, $67,000, we're going to buy that property and that money's gone. But here's the difference is if we can take a young man that's given his life to God and said, Lord, I'll do what you have me do. I'll go to college, learn how to preach, but you know what I mean, amen. I'll do everything I can for you, Lord. Hey, can I say to you, hey, that God, hey, can take that young man and do more for God, more for the kingdom, hey, than $67,000 ever will.
Amen.
Saying this, he's more valuable than $67,000. He's still young, amen. He still has a life ahead of him. And if he gives himself to God, hey, then God can take his life and use it for his glory.
Amen.
We find that the importance of giving ourselves to the Lord and allowing God to use us is not so we can get a pat on the back. It's not so the preacher may say, man, you're a good Christian. Or not so we'll stand before the Lord one day and he'll say, man, you were such a good boy. I mean, you know, we do what we do because it brings glory to him.
Amen.
Preacher told me this one time, and I think it'll be a help to everybody, not just the preachers. But a preacher told me one time, he said, you get up to preach or you get up to do something for God. And he said, and you get done and you've given it all you've got and you sit down and maybe you get out there and you preach and we're wanting amens. Nobody said amen. You failed. He said, get up there to preach. And then you preach and you give it all you got. You serve in every area you can. You go out and you go soul winning. And you go out and you try to teach that Sunday school class hoping that somebody will get saved. But if nobody gets saved, you failed. He said, but if you'll get up in the morning and give yourself to God and say, Lord, I don't know what you want to do with me today. Lord, I don't know if you want who you want me to witness to. God, I don't know what you have planned for my life today. But God, I lay myself down on this altar to tell you whatever you want to do with me. God, I'm available. And God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. If it's Ghana, Africa, or Guatemala, or wherever it may be. God, I pray that you'd give me the grace to go. And God, that you'd be with me. And we do it for the glory of God. Then it doesn't matter if no one gets saved. It doesn't matter if nobody says amen. It doesn't matter if nobody comes to the altar, because we're doing it for the glory of God. And He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. And can I say to you, church, you can't look at me and say, oh, preacher, you don't know where I come from. Because, friend, can I say this? You don't know where I come from. As I said, 11 years old, started getting all them drugs, starting to get all that stuff. Hated anybody that wasn't this color. Couldn't stand Latinos. Couldn't stand people of the opposite color. I mean, I was, I don't know if anybody knows the Chattanooga area. I was raised for about 9 years out in the country. And then I was raised about 11 years out in the ghetto. I was most confused, I still am, most confused individual ever meet. I mean, I got the best of both worlds. I got the country and the ghetto slapping together, and you got me. Amen. I mean, I remember I went to Bible college. I was driving a Chrysler 300 wearing Liberty overalls. And I got out of that car. Everybody, what in the world? I mean, people know what they was looking at. I mean, it was just amazing. But can I say this? God's took my life. Listen, I never in my life would have thought I'd be a preacher. When I got saved, I never thought I'd be a preacher. I thought preachers were crazy. I thought, man, anybody get up there and spit like that, and anybody gets up there and acts like that, man, they're crazy. But you know what? I began to learn, hey, that God began to give me a desire. I'll never forget being in Mexico. I'll never forget one morning out there in Mexico. I believe this is where the time I really got serious about serving God. And I'll never forget, I was reading one of my, I was just going through my Bible reading. I was down there for 2 months, and I had made a goal. I was going to read my entire Bible through in 2 months. Amen. I never got through it, but I got to Isaiah chapter 6, though. I was down there, and I wasn't even looking for missionary verses. I was just reading. And I got to that verse where it says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. And for the first time in my life, I said, God, I don't know if you want me to be a missionary. I don't know if you want me to be a preacher. I don't know what you want to do in my life. I have nothing to offer you. I don't have any talents. I mean, I'm dumb as a rock. I mean, I don't have nothing to offer you. I'm not smart. I don't know a lot of things. But God, I'm giving you myself. And you know what I've tried to do, preacher, for the past how many ever years it's been? I've tried every, because it's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing that you've got to give your life to the Lord. You've got to wake up in the morning and say, God, hey, take my life and use it today. Yeah. And you know what I realized? That God can do more through me than I ever could do on my own.
Amen. Yeah.
You're here this evening. You're trying everything you can to serve God, but you've not given yourself to Him. Y'all have heard the phrase joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Let me tell you how selfish you are. I mean, how you know if you're selfish or not. Let me tell you how you know if you've given your life to the Lord. Is what if He did call you to go somewhere? What if He did call you to go and leave? Are we in Gray? Amen, Gray, Tennessee. Amen. Hey, what if God called you to go somewhere else? And what if He did call you to go out Midwest? Or what if He did call you to go, hey, to some other country somewhere? Your response to that says a lot about your surrender to Him.
Yeah.
You say, God may not call. He's not. He's not going to call everybody to the mission field in the sense a foreign field or a field outside. Everybody's a missionary. Everybody's called to fulfill the Great Commission and be a witness and to be a soul winner. But your attitude and the aspect of would you be willing to go if He said go tells a lot about if you've really given your life to the Lord.
Amen.
You see, I've learned something. I'm only 31, and I'm telling you, I'm dumb. I mean, it's just, I'm just honest. I'm dumb. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant to. There's a lot of things I don't know how to do. I mean, it takes me hours to put even a message together. And now even double the time because I got to put it in English. Then I got to put it in Spanish. And then I got to make sure my English and Spanish are lining up so I'm not preaching some heresy. Amen. it's a mess. You should see my office in Guatemala. It's crazy. You should take me sometimes about 2 or 3 days to put a message together. Now it's double that. I'm getting on Saturday nights and I'm like, oh Lord, please let me finish this. Let me get this translated. But can I tell you, I'll make a promise to you. If God can take somebody like me, put me on the mission field, serving Him, preaching in Spanish 5 months into being on the field. If He can do that for me, there ain't no telling what He could do for you. Leviticus, real quick, like I'm done. Leviticus 22:23. The Bible says, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, listen, thou mayest offer for a free will offering. You know what this verse is saying? It don't matter your past. It don't matter, listen, hey, what your failures are, or what you're not good at, or hey, what you don't have to, none of those things matter. He just wants a free will offering. It don't matter, can I just say this to the older people? We need you more than ever. Amen. We need you more than you say, well, I'm just getting close to home. Hey, don't quit till you get there, praise God. Hey, just keep serving. Hey, I'm nothing encouraging. I mean, some people, they say, you walk into church and it's nothing but older people. It's so discouraging. I say, man, that ain't discouraging to me. That's encouraging because I know the God they've been serving, hey, for all these years has been faithful to them and He'll carry me through just like He did for them. Amen. I say, don't quit now. Don't throw it in. Don't say, I'm just getting to my body. No, find something to do for God. You can still give your life to God. It don't matter if you're 8 or 80 or 98. Hey, give your life to God.
Right.
Amen, preacher. Let me ask you this question tonight in closing. When's the last time you've come to an altar, you've took your time and your private time, wherever it may be, and you just said, Lord, I'm giving myself first. Because before I ever put a dollar in that missions offering, before I ever put a dollar in that tithe, before I ever do anything else, God, I want to give you me first. Because I know that money's wonderful and it helps. But there's so much more you can do with my life if I'll just give it to you. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray, God, that you helped your people tonight. God, we pray tonight, Lord, for every child of God in this room. Lord, I know that in this day and age, Lord, it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to begin to look how the world's turning around and how things are going negative. But God, if we just look up and see that how much closer we are to home, and God, know that you're coming soon for your church. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be caught being faithful. Help us, dear Lord, to give ourselves to you. I pray you'd take every young person, young adult, married, single, older family, older couple, Lord God, I pray that you'd take every born-again believer and show them, God, show themselves or show yourself to them. Show them what, God, you can do with a life that's been freely given to you. God, help us, Lord. And God, I pray that you please help us and do all these things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.
As we stand together, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and the ladies begin to play something through. There's an old song. It says, we're not home yet, children. And I believe that's what the preacher man was preaching about. We're not home yet. Maybe many of you said the same thing that he had mentioned. Well, there's not much I can do, maybe because of my age, maybe because of my lack of Bible training, maybe because of my upbringing or lack thereof, or whatever the excuse might be that the devil puts in our thoughts to keep us from volunteering. Well, if it is that we're up in age, I tell you like that old song, we're not home yet, children. We're not supposed to quit till God gets us out of this. And then if we're not eloquent, then we have the same excuse that Moses did, and God didn't accept it from him. He wouldn't accept it from us. And if it's our lack of training, our lack of knowledge, whatever it is, I can tell you that the preacher man that preached tonight, he drove the nail home, drove it in deep to say that it's not you anyways, it's the Lord. And then I think back about Jared as he preached about having peace in life. You know, it's all surrounded by the Word of God and being in the Word of God, letting God work in your life. And so I ask you this evening, wouldn't you tell the Lord what we have preached about tonight, that, Lord, we give ourselves. And then maybe you are troubled about things that are going on in your life. And you need to live in that way where you thank the Lord for what's going on. Even though the Lord hasn't come through yet, you're trusting Him. Whatever the Lord's done in your heart tonight, I trust that you would do business with Him. As they play through just a little while longer, I invite you to come, make an altar out of your seat if you will, or make an altar, come out of the altar here, and just pray and give whatever it is to the Lord as they play. As they continue to play, one more verse. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, know most of you, but you may know me ever since we've been here, but still been struggling with the assurance of salvation, not knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. We never like to close a service, but what we ask, if you're not sure, you need somebody to kindly and patiently take the Word of God and just take you through it, you're welcome to step out and come. We'd meet you right down here at the front. Show you from the Word of God how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. You are saved, but you've not been baptized. You need to join the church. Whatever the case might be, this is a great time to just do business with the Lord. They'll play through one more, and then we'll close the service tonight. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Bless these messages to our hearts, dear Lord. May you give your good, gracious hand of blessing to the hills as they travel back down, dear Lord, around Chattanooga, Rossville area. I pray that you'd watch over them. Bless his wife tonight. Bless little Stinnett as well, dear Lord. Bless Judah. I pray that you'd bless that little one. Keep him safe and healthy, dear Lord, and bless him. And then, dear Lord, I pray that you would bless as we head out tonight. I pray that you'd take us home safely. But I pray, dear Lord, that you would not let us forget what we've heard. Lord, we oftentimes think the preacher man that comes through wants us to give a lot of money in the plate. But here's one that came through that said, Lord, you want us. And I pray, dear Lord, that that would weigh heavy on us. I pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I wanted to share with you, Brother John Young over here wanted me to mention to you, thank you for your prayers. He's doing well. He's had that procedure done a week ago last Friday, and praise the Lord that he's doing well, so keep him in your prayers. But again, to everyone, we want to say thank you. We've kind of had to change some things up. I'm going to ask Brother Hill, if you don't mind, to come over to your table, and I know it's the opposite way of where you're going. You're heading out this way, but I trust if you haven't got a prayer card that you'll stop by and get one of them and get to meet he and the girls and let them know you'll be praying for them. And that's been the first time officially that our church has got to meet them, so we're looking forward to getting getting to know him better and better over the years. And Jared, thank you for preaching. Hopefully you get by and see Jared and tell him that you'll be praying for him. He'll finish up his finals for this semester next week or so, and then he'll be officially into senior year next year. So you keep him in your prayers if you would. Thank you for being in church. God bless you as you go. Have a great evening.
By the dawn's early light, what so proud?